I want to thank all the men for giving me the opportunity to come out and be able to do this tonight. I do enjoy, despite what nervousness I may have, I do enjoy doing these lessons and being able to present something and being able to study and put things together so that I may come up here and do this for the edification of the church. And tonight I'm going to talk about appetites. Now, when the first thing we think of with appetites is probably food. And when I started the lesson, I had started thinking about food and maybe finding some passages in the scriptures that may have something to do with food. But it developed into something else and something more. And that's what I have this evening. So I couldn't think of a better way to begin this lesson than to begin by talking about the first unhealthy appetite that led to the need for all of this that we do and our spiritual severance from God. And in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 16, we read of God giving Adam one commandment. Now in verse 16, which I'll give a moment for everybody to turn to that. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, From any tree you shall eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in this day that you eat from it, you will surely die. And in the beginning, we were given one commandment. Well, not we, but Adam and Eve were given one commandment. And it was to not eat from one tree. And that was the only restriction on their appetite. They had everything else they could possibly think of. Now, so we see that Adam and Eve who was created a few verses later, was in want of nothing. They had food, they had a place to rest, and they had no need of clothing. And also, from what we can see from the scriptures, the two were never in danger. Well, until the day the serpent talked to Eve, of course. Now, if you would, look with me in Genesis chapter 3, beginning verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said to you, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" Now the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree of the garden which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die." So the serpent said to the woman, "You shall surely not die, for God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw this, now I want you to remember a few things, so I'm going to come back to this. She saw that the tree was good for food, that it was delightful to the eye, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. She took of it, shook its fruits, and ate, and gave it also to her husband with her, and he ate. And from that one solitary act, from that one bit of appetite, Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden, and in a way, their relationship with God had changed. Because they walked with God, they talked with God, and they were able to commune with Him in a different way than we do now. And it was just from one moment of wanting something that was forbidden. And sometimes our appetites are like that. I mean, it may be something as simple as a cigarette or a drink. And I mean, as Nathan touched upon towards the end of his sermon, he was talking about these things, you know, how we forsake Jesus by doing these things. And in the same way, I'm applying this and saying that our appetites are what make us want to do that. Would it be an appetite for being accepted by a certain group of people, or an appetite of something that we know we're not supposed to have as Christians, but we want it anyway? And I say we because I've been, you know, I've done like Eve before and had to repent of it But no, we have many other examples throughout the scriptures of various appetites we have as humans. Now, we ourselves know that we have appetites and hungers, as Adam and Eve did, for things that both in this world and in the spiritual world. Now, the spiritual appetites are what I want to focus on. And from a few passages, I want you to keep in mind. The first is Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. And it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Now, when I was putting this together, there was a few questions that popped in my mind, and I think they probably pop up in each one of your minds as we go through this. Now, Jesus tells us here that our spiritual needs and appetites are what we need in order to be satisfied and never to hunger or thirst spiritually. Now, and he also tells us we can be satisfied through hungering after God and Him and His Word. But what does it mean to hunger and thirst for righteousness? Now, of course, the perfect example would be in Matthew chapter 4, where we read Jesus, that Jesus is in the desert, and we know that he has had nothing to eat for 40 days and 40 nights, as we read in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 2. And in the next verse, we read, "And the tempter," which is the devil, "came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of Man, command these stones to become bread.' But Jesus answered him and said, 'It is written, Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.'" Now we see here that Jesus was hungry, and yet he chose to follow God's will and therefore be righteous instead of giving in to making stones into bread. And to apply this to to apply this to our everyday life. We come up with situations where we come across things and we know there's things we shouldn't do. We're tempted, not necessarily by hunger, as Jesus was here, but just by things that we want after that we don't have, that we want, and we're given the opportunity to have them, yet, you know, we can't touch them because we shouldn't do them because it is not good for a Christian to do so. And of course, you know, we have that perfect example, and Jesus was a perfect example because he never sinned. But the next question is, okay, so Jesus did it, and he gave us an example, but how do we do it? Now, well, the psalmist gives us an idea when he writes in Psalms 34 in verse 8. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Now, what he means by taste is that, what he means by taste here is that the word of God and his teachings. And he talks about this in the rest of the verses, and he gives us what it is we are to do. Now, if you look with me in verse 11, it says, "Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you to fear the Lord." And this sounds like another example we have in Ecclesiastes, which Nathan brought up in the morning service, that Solomon says in his writings, that to fear God, when all is said and done, fear the Lord and keep His commandments. So we know that one thing that we need to do in order to have a right spiritual appetite is to fear the Lord and to keep His commandments. Have an appetite for the fear of the Lord. Now, some people will say, well, you can taste fear. And it's true sometimes. And we should have that taste of fear and have an appetite for that in order to keep ourselves in line with God's Word. But that's not all, though. As he says in verse 13, "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from seeking deceit." So we are to abstain from evil and keep our lips from speaking deceit. Now, again, and then finally he says in verse 14, "Depart from evil and do good." Now this is part of our spiritual diet. But there is one more thing we can look at. in Luke chapter 10, in verse 25 through 28, we can read. This is Jesus being tested by a lawyer. And the lawyer stood up and he put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now keep this in mind. He's asking God, "What do I need to have eternal life?" And we can put this in another way of saying, what appetites, what things do I have to want and to strive after in order to have eternal life? And Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." So we see that having an appetite for the Lord and the things that He's commanded of us, and keeping them, we will have eternal life. And that's a lot more than any diet in the world can offer us. And you say, well, you can lose 20 pounds, you can lose 15 pounds, you can lose 30 pounds in this amount of time. And that's the great thing. That's the great thing about our spiritual diet. It's clear and concise. We don't have to count our sins. We just need to ask for forgiveness and focus more on God than on the world. Now that seems simple, right? Well, unfortunately, it's not as simple as it is simple. But when it comes down to it, because of our human nature, it's not as simple as I'm speaking it, I guess. Okay, so like every good diet, we are told what we can eat, and what we can't eat. And thus far, I've covered a few things that we can't eat, we can't partake of and have an appetite for, as far as speaking of evil and keeping our lips from deceit. So here's something we need to watch out for. And in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19, there is an example of what we are to watch out for. And Paul says in verse 3, when he's speaking to the church in Philippi, and he's warning them of some of the people that may come into the church and may try to deceive those. And he says in verse 3, "For many, many walk, for whom I often told you, and now even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross, whose end is their destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, which has set their mind on earthly things." Now, I said I was going to come back to Adam and Eve, and I want to do that now by saying, okay, what Paul is saying here is the appetite of those who he's speaking about has their mind on earthly things. And some earthly things, as it says in Genesis chapter 3 and in the latter part of the verse where I read, when the woman saw it, saw that the tree was good for food. Now we can have an appetite, we can see all these great desserts and foods when we go somewhere. And some of us may not know when to quit when we see these kind of things. And I sometimes am one of those. I've had my fair share. I know it doesn't necessarily look that way, but I have too much of some things sometimes. And food is one of them. I love sweet potato casserole, and sometimes I eat way too much of it at one time, and I feel it later. And another, as it says after that, "There's always a delight to the eyes." There's a lot of things out there to delight to the eyes, whether it be gold, silver, money, the opposite sex, whatever the case may be. However, these things, again, are appetites for earthly things. And as Paul says, refer back to the Philippians chapter 3, he's saying there's an appetite, and they keep their minds on things of the earth. And he's warning us here, and we're warned even in the very beginning in Genesis, that this is what they're going to look like. They're going to be good for food. They're going to be delight to the eyes. And even was desirable to make one wise, as it says in the last part of Genesis chapter 3, in the verse, excuse me. And wisdom and knowledge can also be, and we might not often think of this as something that can be an appetite that can go against the Lord and against what he tells us to do. But it can be. Because as we seek for knowledge, if we're not seeking for knowledge for the Lord, and I understand, you know, in our jobs and whatnot, we have to learn certain things in order to do our job correctly, and that's fine. That's not what I'm saying here. But when we put knowledge above God, and the knowledge of other things above the knowledge of God, and put things in place of that, we are doing nothing more than having an appetite for earthly things and not for the things which are spiritual. And it seems, knowledge is one of those things that you think that, you know, it's never going to be something that that is going to be not desirable for me and to do for God, or it's not going to be in the way of what God has to say, but it very easily can. You know, I know in my college years, and I took a lot of classes, and I wasn't in the church, but at that time, but I did have a heart for the Lord, and there were times where knowledge was all I really wanted. I wasn't worried about learning about God or learning about Scripture or anything of that nature. I was just worried about learning all I could learn and looking good in front of my friends when I'm talking about certain things, because they were all smarter than me, so I thought. And that can be a hindrance, and that honestly can be vain, and that leads into vanity, which is another appetite that is not good. And that brings me to my final point. Now, and I want to say, I'm going to quote verse in Luke 14 and verse 26. It says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and child and brother and sister, and yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Now I want to stop for a moment. And I want to say that the hate that is talked about there is not the hate that we think of as far as gloating or holding a grudge against someone. That's not the kind of hate that Jesus is talking about here, because if it was, it would be a contradiction, because if we hate, then we cannot love. But what he's talking about here is turning away from. And it's the same thing with repenting. We turn away from whatever it is we have done, and we do not do it anymore. So he's not saying, if you come to me, you have to hate everything else. You have to hate them if they come before him. And in any time, our fathers, our mothers, our wives, our children, our brothers, our sisters, and yes, even our own life, is more important than the Word of God, and we have to choose between the two. We have to choose the Lord. And I know this, and I've recently experienced this myself, having to turn away from someone because it got above the Lord, or had the potential to do so. It didn't, but it had the potential to do so. And I'm sure each one of us have had that happen to us. And I know it's hard. I understand that. But there's times where we have to go away from those things. We have to turn from them, because if we don't, we're not with the Lord. And if we're not with Him, we're against Him. And it's hard. It's a hard thing to hear, but really it means that. And in plain English, that's what He's saying to us. If you put anything before Him, you are not His. And if you're not His, you're not righteous. And if you're not righteous, you are starving. And the people around you will starve in the same way. And we can understand this from Proverbs chapter 34 and verse 21. Because there the psalmist says, "The lips of the righteous feed many, but the fool dies for the lack of understanding." And this is something that we should do, and it's something that we should do daily, is to ask ourselves, you know, are we feeding those around us as well as ourselves. Are we spiritually full? Which I don't believe in this life is ever possible, because we're always going to need more. But are we spiritually filling ourselves and filling others? Because if we're not, then there's something we need to look at and need to make right. Because it's something that we're obviously lacking in, and if we're lacking in it, then we are starving spiritually. And we fall in the second part of the verse where it says, but the fool dies for a lack of understanding. And we need to test that, test ourselves each day and ask ourselves, are we doing this? Are we really feeding others around us as well as ourselves spiritually? Are we daily opening up our Bibles and learning the Word of God? Are we ready when people ask us questions and we have to give a biblical answer for them? And I don't mean quoting verses off verbatim and, you know, knowing chapter and verse for everything. Because I know sometimes, you know, myself included, sometimes memorizing things are a little hard. But do you know enough about it to say, well, I know it's here, and you can at least find the chapter, or at least have a way of knowing that, and a way of teaching it to others? Because if that's not the case, then perhaps, I'm not saying you are, but perhaps you're starting to starve spiritually. In which case, that's dangerous. Because if we die spiritually, we're in a very lost state. And it's just as serious, if not more, really, if we didn't eat. I mean, if we didn't eat for, I believe it's 7 days the average human can go before they can die of hunger. If we didn't eat for 7 days, we'd be in a lot of trouble. But it's even more serious if we don't open our Bibles in 7 days. What are we learning? And I'm saying we because I know that I need to do it way more often than I do now. And I'm not putting it on anybody else except for myself. And, you know, anyone who hears it, who understands that about themselves, that's fine. But I'm talking to myself first. And I know even I need to open my Bible more and to read through the Scriptures. And I understood this more as I was putting this lesson together, that I didn't know as much as I want to. So, if you understand that the Lord came down to earth, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that He was born of a virgin, He was here, He died a horrible death upon the cross, and He rose again for the fulfillment of Scriptures to save each one of us from our sins. And you can confess that and repent of the sins that you have done and be baptized, then you can stop starving spiritually. And the hunger that I know each one of us, well, I know those who are not saved feel. And it may seem like you're spinning your wheels, you know, as much as you try and learn from time to time, it's not working. You know, it's just not enough. And if you have that kind of heart, then those are the things that you need to do in order to truly start on feeding your spiritual appetite. And if you are here and you've brought a reproach upon the church publicly, then we offer you the opportunity to come forth and to repent of that. And in essence, hating that sin and turning away from it, and to stop starving and to start feeding your spiritual appetite once more. And if it's of a personal nature, I implore you to go to God in prayer and to ask Him for forgiveness so that you'll be able to not starve spiritually, and you'll be spiritually healthy enough and keep striving and keep wanting that spiritual growth and to feed yourself spiritually. For we would know more, we would no more starve ourselves bodies physically than we should starve ourselves spiritually. So many who are a part of the call that we have given to come forth and confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, confess, repent of your sins, and be baptized, and please do so now. And any of those who have a public nature, please come forth and make it right with the Lord this evening as we stand and sing.